John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I count it a privilege always to bring the message of the gospel to you today, wherever you may be, and I hope that you will be blessed through this word today. We have another look at that great text where the Lord Jesus said that we shall do greater works than these. Now, this greatly boggles the mind. How can we, as mortals, possibly do greater works than the Son of God with all his infinite power? Well, just think of where the church is at today, and we think of the mighty work of evangelism around the world. Now, at the close of our program, we're going to be looking at missions and the great need to go out with the gospel in these times. And I hope that you too will be a missionary to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Stay tuned now as we come to our message on We Shall Do Greater Works Than These.
Of God, we shall do greater works than Christ. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I told you that this would be staggering. This is almost sounds like bragging or presumptuous, that we are going to do greater works than Jesus himself. How can that possibly be? If I didn't read that here in the Bible, I wouldn't dare state it. I wouldn't dare preach it. But here it is in the Word of God. What? We who are but little lumps of clay are going to do greater works than Jesus, the Son of God? Well, firstly, let me say that it doesn't apply to physical miracles. There was no one who ever outperformed the Lord Jesus in physical miracles. No one but our Lord Jesus, except Peter for a little moment as he kept his eyes on the Lord, ever walked on water. No one except the Lord fed the 5,000 with a small lunch, and again another time 4,000. No one raised someone from the dead, a Lazarus that was in the grave 4 days. No one did the miracles that Jesus did in greater number. Now, there were isolated miracles performed by the apostles, but they did not outnumber the works of the Lord Jesus. So, what are these miracles? Look at the latter part of verse 12. Which says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When the Lord was ascended to the Father, his work was not done. He went to reign at the right hand of God. He became the head of the church. To him was given the keys of the kingdom, and he was the ruler over all dominion. And so at Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that led to thousands of conversions, the explosion of evangelism, the planting of churches in a very short period of time, which is really greater works than the Lord Jesus ever performed, if you go by numbers of conversions, new churches, the advance of Christianity through the apostles, not only in the Jewish world, but in the Greek world, the Roman world, even over to Babylon, and on into India. Thomas was an apostle to India. These are the greater works. Now, those were done because Jesus was at the right hand of the Father, pouring out his power to work his work through the preaching of the gospel. Now, there is a verse in Acts 2, verse 33, that will establish this which I'm saying. Acts 2 and verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Now, the Lord's statement to Philip, that he that believeth in me, greater works than these shall he do, was referring to the day when the Lord would be ascended to the right hand of God, and he would pour out the Holy Spirit and give that mighty, wonderful revival to the church. And in Acts 1:8, we know that in the upper room they were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come, and they were praying, they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. They were to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this day of prayer, we can ask likewise. We believe in Jesus' name. We believe who he is, the eternal God, God the Son, and the Son of God. We do not belittle in any way the eternal dignity or glory of his person. And we ask in his name that now that as he sits at the right hand of God, that he will send the Holy Spirit and send revival to his church. Greater works. Oh, let us ask in that name that is almighty. Now, in verse 13, we learn that we're going to ask according to the power of Christ. And that comes to the second "and." And I hope that you have marked this. I put a circle around the word "and" in my Bible. You might want to tick it or highlight it or mark it somehow. But here in verse 13, the statement begins with another "and." This is a progression of the former statement. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Now, to properly ask in Jesus' name is to recognize the fullness of his person. It is no little name that we are coming through whom to ask. We're asking in the name of the one who is equal with God. He is now with the Father at God's right hand. He is loved by the Father. And he will bring glory to the Father. You'll see that in verse 13. The work that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So there's no tension, there's no pull between the will of the Father, the will of the Son. What Jesus grants and accomplishes from the throne, the Father will be glorified. And then notice verse 14, that the same statement is repeated again. It's repeated twice. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, why is this repeated? Because the disciples were slow to get it. And every Bible reader reading these words of the Lord Jesus is slow to get it, that we are to ask in his name with the assurance that it will be done, that he will work it. And we must therefore grasp the power of his person and of all that he is to us as his people. We must realize that Jesus, as he sits upon that throne in heaven, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every creature does his bidding. He is the king that holds out the scepter, bids his commands, and his will is done. And as we ask in Jesus' name, his will is done. Those who are with us for our studies in the book of Revelation will remember that everything proceeds from the throne. And of course, it's Jesus seated upon that throne. And every blessing, every good that comes to the church on earth proceeds from the throne. And as we ask in Jesus' name, we're asking in the name of the King upon his throne, working his will. And then, of course, he has a divine ministry of intercession. I'll just read to you Romans 8:34. "It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So as we pray today, and as we ask in that name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord is on the throne. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he is interceding on our behalf. And everything that we ask in Jesus' name, according to the will of God, he presents to the Father, and he promises, "I will do it." And so we need to be conscious of the Son's power and authority in heaven. As you use that name of the Lord Jesus, it must not merely be a trite reference. It must not just merely be a convention. You do it because other Christians do it. You don't do it just out of tradition, but out of deep conviction that the Lord Jesus on that throne has all power and authority. The other thing is we need to aim for the Father's glory, because that's what Jesus always did. He came into the world to reveal the Father. He did the will of the Father, and he prays that the Father may be glorified. And so that ought to be our focus in prayer today. Lord, glorify your name in this nation. Answer mightily to do the work that is needed in this nation. And then you'll see also in verse 15 that we must pray with a mind of the commandments. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And for the true Christian who is in love with the Lord Jesus, we will not ask for anything that is outside of the good and perfect will of God. Now, John Brown of Edinburgh, he interprets these Jesus commandments as everything that's revealed in the scriptures as the will of God. That would take in the Ten Commandments, the moral law, every statement of the Lord in his Sermon on the Mount. And everything that's revealed in the book is God's commandment to us. And so we're going to pray, Lord, we're asking for your will to be done. We're asking for your purposes to be accomplished. We're asking that you'll work in this nation at this time, that glory will be brought to your name, whatever your eternal purpose is in this. And so we have, in a sense, a blank check to fill in. Whatsoever we ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. And we have the responsibility as his people to fill in that blank check and to ask for his will to be done, for his glory. Will you pray like that today? That's the focus. That's the burden that we need. Now, the third and I'm going to be brief on this, is verse 16, where the Lord says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And this specific request of Christ, this is very focused, very specific. There is something that we can underline and get a hold of. The Lord Jesus is going to pray to his Father to send the Holy Spirit unto us. Now, you'll notice that his name is referred to as the Comforter. In the Greek language, it's parakletos, and it is helper, advocate, and the word helper is a good word to lay hold on. We have a helper. We have one who strengthens, who guides, who directs us. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the Lord Jesus. If you turn over to chapter 15, 26, you'll see that when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now think of it this way. Jesus came into the world to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit is come into the world to reveal the Son. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus' name known, to give an understanding, a comprehension of who Jesus is. And I think of the two men on that road to Emmaus, how along the way the Lord talked to them, he opened up the scriptures and explained things to them, and then along the way, suddenly, their eyes were opened. The Lord opened their understanding, and their hearts burned within them. Now, before that, they had endless questions. They thought wrong, but when the Lord opened their understanding, then they got it. And then they understood that this was Jesus, the living Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He opens eyes. He opens hearts. He makes Jesus known in the world, that he is preeminent above all things. And you'll find through the epistles of the New Testament that that was the prayers and the preaching of the apostles, to call people to recognize the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus, his eternal dignity, his divinity, his glory, and preaching Christ, causing men and women to comprehend the wonder that is in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's Christianity. That's the Christianity that Canada needs. There was a hymn that was sung, I believe it was penned by A.B. Simpson, and he said, Jesus only is our message. Jesus all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus ever. Jesus only will we see. And of course, we need to pray for that, that the Lord will send the Holy Spirit so that He will make our neighbors, our friends, our family to know our Lord Jesus. That's the urgent, pressing need. Men, women, sinners, even wicked sinners, even our political leaders in whom we are greatly disappointed. They seem to have no morals. They seem to have abandoned every thought of God and His law. We need to pray that the Lord reveals to them the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we gather for prayer today, on this day when we pray against this pandemic, let us pray that God works His purposes to reveal His Son to the hearts of men and women across this country, and that the gospel message will go forth with great results, great effect, by the Holy Spirit opening eyes and hearts to behold the wonder and the glory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord sent a fiery chariot, and He had a way to go. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, send fire from heaven down on Your children here. When Moses led His children from out of Egypt land, the Lord sent a fiery pillar, led them out of Egypt land. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, send the fire from heaven down on Your children here.
When Jesus went to heaven and He left His children here, He sent the fire from heaven down on His children here. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Oh, send the fire from heaven on Your children here below. Oh, Lord, send the fire.
On this note of the Lord Jesus' statement that we shall do greater works than these, let me rehearse to you the story of John G. Patton's well. John G. Patton was the hero missionary of the New Hebrides Islands in the South Seas. The people were savages, they wore little clothing, and lived in a terrible state of sin. Mr. Patton had a time at first in getting the people to believe that he had a message from God. Finally, the water supply ran out on the island because of lack of rain. The natives had never seen a well. Patton proceeded to dig one, and the digging of this well was really the beginning of the conversion of the people. On beginning the well, Patton told the chief that he believed God would give them rain from the hole in the ground. The only fresh water the natives had was that caught when it rained. When Patton made this statement, great excitement prevailed. The chief and others declared that if Patton could bring rain from the hole in the ground, he must be the true God. Finally, the missionary, by digging to some depth, found a spring of living water. The effect upon the people was wonderful. The old chief asked the privilege of preaching a sermon at the Sunday services upon the well. This he did, emphasizing his earnest appeal by excitedly swinging his tomahawk. In the midst of a sermon he cried, "People of Anawa, the world has turned upside down since the word of Jehovah is come to this land. Who ever expected to see rain come up through the earth? From this day I must worship Him who has opened up for us this well, and who fills it with rain from below. During the week following, this remarkable sermon gave heaps of idols were burned in front of Patton's house. The Christian teaching grew apace, and before many years, there was not a heathen left on the island. This is the power of missionary work. And of course, the Lord can use many means to convince people that the Lord, He is God. How we need to be praying for the nations of the world today, that they be turned from their ungodliness and to seek unto the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to be a missionary, to be able to take this good news of the gospel to the souls of those who are in spiritual darkness. Now, that could be around the world, it could be in some place of ministry, or it could be in your neighborhood or in your home. Let me challenge you about serving the Lord and being a missionary in this new year. There are many, many opportunities to take the gospel to men. You can invite them along to church to hear the message that has been prepared and is being preached by a man of God preaching from the Bible, or you can give them a CD, or send them a text, or invite people to join in to a particular website where they will hear the message of the gospel. You can find many ways to share the gospel, but the greatest, most personal witness will be your own life. Living for the Lord, giving up the vanities of this world, the entertainment, the pleasures, the things that fill so many lives, but yet your light shine by serving the Lord Jesus day by day. And when the things of the Lord fill our lives, fill our hearts, then our light shall shine to those that sit in darkness. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, thanking you for joining with us on the program today. And if I can be of personal help, make sure that you give me a call. Coming up now to our announcements. Stay tuned. Take these notes down. Thank you again as we let the Bible speak. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.